So I want to talk about some things, and don't worry if you're hungry, I only have 12 points. 15 minutes apiece, what's that equal? No, it probably won't be that long. I do honestly have 12 points, and maybe I just don't have a point, but we'll see what happens. The Lord has a point, and His Word will do what it's called to do, what it's sent to do. But here we are, strangers in a foreign land, amen. This is a... When you're adopted into the family of God and you're a new creature, you don't belong here, but you're passing through for a reason, and a reason and for a season, amen? But I want to talk about a few things. The first thing I want to talk about is the condition of the world. And we're going to get into Scripture, but the condition of the world, to lead up to that, to set the... platform or stage, if you would, for the message. You say, well, this world's getting crazier by the minute. I'm getting more excited by the second, because the church age is winding down. I'm a dispensationalist, not because somebody else thought of it. I'm a dispensationalist because I have some common sense when it comes to the Bible, amen. You can't make it all fit in one dispensation. You can't take heathen dearth to the end and put it into Genesis chapter 3, and to take Genesis chapter 3 and put it into the church age, and take the church age saved and sealed and put it in the tribulation, all that. You can't do that. There has to be, and the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There are divisions in the Bible. And they're not just divisions from one Old Testament to a New Testament. For understanding where the Scripture goes, there are divisions. And I'm a moderate dispensationalist. I believe in dispensations. So the condition of this world, although, I mean, on one hand, I feel like we need more ammo. But on the other hand, I feel like this is getting about as crazy as I can see it getting before we get out of here. But I'm not the Lord. I don't see everything the way He does. But the condition of this world is a mess. And if you have no spiritual discernment, you'll look around and you'll say, well, look at this. Oh, everybody's coming together and kumbaya, and boy, I'll tell you what, Christianity is finally united, and that couldn't be the furthest thing from the truth. True Christianity is united, and the true Christianity is the remnant of what's going on in this world today. And I'm not saying we're walking right all the time, or we're perfect, or we're the epitome of Christ-like or any of that. I'm just saying that true Christianity loves Jesus Christ, is guilty when they do something wrong instead of making excuses for it, that believes God says what He means and means what He says and gave us a Bible, that believes that the commandment, be ye holy as I am holy, is something we should try to attain to. And I don't, it's prescribed to the sinless perfection holiness stuff, but I believe our souls are purified and our souls are perfect for eternity. Amen. This flesh is a mess. But the condition of this world, hang on, we're leaving. Amen. The condition of this world is getting crazier and crazier. Which leads me to the next point. I told you I'm going to get through these first ones quicker, because 15 minutes apiece, y'all be really biting and devouring each other if we don't get to that food in about 45 minutes. Amen. But the condition of this world, believes me, we're getting really close to the catching away of the bride. The catching away of God's church. And we are not appointed to wrath. And God has promised that we'll meet Him in the air. And He's promised some things about Daniel's 70th week that weren't pointed at us, they were pointed at Israel. So all I say to the naysayers is, open your eyes and read the book. Pray that God would show you, instead of following man's craziness. Because God has put you into the body of Christ. If you're today and you're saved, He has given you everlasting life. And He's given you a promise that we're not appointed to wrath, which is coming to this world soon, like never seen before. And I wouldn't let my bride as a sinful human, I wouldn't let my bride go through what's coming. Now, I'm not saying God would have been wrong if he'd have decided to do it, but he gave us a book that says he's calling us out of here. So we got the condition of the world, which is craziness. We got the catching up of the church, which is exciting. And we've talked a little bit about this. We see the compiling of false religions. I mean, from the Presbyterian minister, if you will, reverend. I'm not a reverend. I'm some guy. Probably the wrong end of Balaam's donkey that God uses, amen, once in a while. But the reverend this, the reverend that, the pope this, the pope that, the bishop, the cardinal, the Lutheran this, the Lutheran that, all this stuff. God's allowing the devil to bring all this stuff on the ship of Alexandria. We talked about in Sunday school, that Alexandrian text that leads to Rome, which led Paul to Rome, that ship of Alexandria, leading people back to Rome. And leading people that didn't even start at Rome to Rome, which is strange to me. I never started at Rome. Some folks never got far enough away from it. I never started there. Praise God, by the grace of God. But the compiling of these religions, like we've talked about before, the Abrahamic father house with the different religions, Judaism, Catholicism, they want to call Christianity, and Islam, all under one roof. Whether you like it or not, I don't particularly care for it, but when a pope speaks, people not even of that belief listen to him. They just assume that he partially is telling the truth by being a vicar of Christ, being some good, holy person. And the world has heard that mess for years, say, well, we need to bring Islam in, and we need to bring this in, and bring that in, and bring the other in. And it's all coming together for the devil's system. And God's not being defeated by it. He's allowing it as a chastening tool. Now look, we're blood-bought, born again. Jesus Christ shed his blood. He said, it is finished. We are bought and paid for. We are not going to be chastened in that time. You could be chastened in your time here on earth as a Christian, but you're not going to be chastened through the time for the Jew. We're leaving. And I'm telling you, it gets crazier by the second. You know, you can't believe everything you hear, everything you read, half what you see, all that stuff. But I heard a prominent woman pastor, quote unquote, said, I know there are at least 10 people that have $10,000, and if you don't put it in the envelope, I'm not going to bless you. Because there's a blessing that's ready to come out. It wasn't Joyce this time. A little white lie by Paula. I'm not going to tell you who it was. I don't like mentioning names like that, but Paula White, I wouldn't say. I'm saying that. I will mention that name because I want you to understand who she connected to. I'm telling you, the world is a stage. It's a big show. It's a big... The devil's running this thing. God's pulling back the curtain so you can see the actors. But the main person in our reality, in our life, in our eternity is Jesus Christ and his words. The condition of the world, the catching away of the church, the compiling of false religions... The catastrophe to come. If you look, jump back to Revelation 17 for a second. In Revelation 17, verse 8, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And see what's going to happen is halfway through that 70th week, he's going to be injured and come back, and he's going to be the full-blown Antichrist. and it's going to be on. Look what happens. Jump over to the same chapter, to verse number 16. And excuse me. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. The whore, we know where that goes. False religion, and we know who's carrying that mess. And shall make her desolate, naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. The catastrophe to come, it's going to start out, the Antichrist is going to give this semblance of peace, fool the majority of the world. 3.5 years into that, turn into the full-blown Antichrist. Turn on the whore that carried the religion, the Babylonian religion, and envelop all those kingdoms into one kingdom and try to destroy God's chosen people, what's left of them. The catastrophe to come, the Antichrist, against the whore. What? A whore is being used, not respected. It's going to be destroyed. The proceeds from the whore are going to be collected by the beast. Amen? Go against Israel, trying to destroy them. And God has given them eternal promises, so we know that's not going to be effective. Amen? It's going to be a chastening thing. But all of Israel, true Israel, what's left, they're going to be saved. The catastrophe to come, the coming of the Lord. Look back at chapter 19. Look at verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. The coming of the Lord. Jump back in that same chapter to verse number 7. This is very important. Revelation 19:7. Let us make glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these things are true sayings, are the true sayings of God. You see what's happening there? The coming of the Lord, what happens right before the coming? He's coming from heaven to this earth. What's he doing right before that? He's with his bride in heaven. So we're already up there. We're not going through the tribulation. We're not leaving at the halfway point. We're leaving at the beginning point. It's the bride. Right before he comes back. In 11 through 16, we'll read, starting verse number 12, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it smite the nations. He shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth out the winepress with fierceness of his wrath and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The coming of the Lord, you know, the challenge is accepted. We see the challenge accepted. You know what the whole world's doing? They're challenging the truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The whole world's challenging the truth. Most of the people that say they're born again are challenging the truth. A lot of people you talk to, when you go out and witness to them, they'll challenge the truth. They'll thumb their nose at the truth. They'll mock and ridicule and try to shame you into submission. To believe what I believe, or you're a fool. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There is a God. He wrote a book. He had a son. His son died for our sins, come back out of the grave. His son is God. Amen. The challenge is accepted. as the world says, forget Jesus Christ, forget God, forget the Bible, we'll have our own way, our own religion. We'll meet at our own path. We're pioneers. We're going to blaze a trail to eternity. Well, there's going to be a blaze. But he accepted that challenge before he wrote this book. Amen. And he's going to come back. And all the armies against him. And with a two-edged sword out of his mouth, the word of God will defeat the enemy. The challenge accepted. Look at verse 17. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. We see the consuming of the enemy. You know what? They're so proud of their flesh and their carnality. And the birds eat it. All flesh is grass. The consuming of the enemy. I mean, here we are. They're over there bombing Iran and doing this and doing that and doing the other. And they've got their motives and they've got their ideas and they've got their financial investments and all that stuff. And they're doing everything that they can do to bring peace. Amen. It takes a lot of wars to get peace. Amen. A lot of them. Jesus Christ is the way to peace. There's only one being that can bring peace to the Middle East. And that's Christ Jesus. But you know, he could bring it without stepping back on this earth if everybody would just trust him and fall in line. But they're not going to do that. But he's accepted the challenge. He's going to consume the enemy. In chapter number 20, and I saw an angel come down from heaven having a key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him in the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. The constraining of the devil. Jesus Christ accepts the challenge. He comes back. The Battle of Armageddon. Defeats the enemy. The birds are feasting on the prey of the enemy, which is the enemy. He casts the beast and the false prophet in the lake of fire. And he constrains the devil. He binds the devil for 1,000 years. The constraining of the devil. You see, here's another reason I'm a dispensationalist. God does everything for a reason. God is always right. There's no man going to stand there and say, God, you're guilty of this, you're guilty of that, if this, that, or the other. Because he takes the devil. What everybody wants to blame, everybody wants to blame the devil. He takes the devil and binds him and takes him completely out of the picture for 1,000 years, and people still reject God. And they still rebel against the truth. So if they say, well, Lord, if you would have just got the devil out of the picture, he said, I did for 1,000 years, and man failed there too. Man failed here, man failed here, man failed here. Every dispensation ends in complete and utter apostasy. It's a mess. And you know how, look, the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, you know what it ends in? People turning against God and trying to defeat him after a perfect rule and reign for 1,000 years. Everybody wants a perfect rule and reign, and when they get it, they reject it. For the most part. They're without excuse because God has given mankind every chance to be right with him. Takes the devil completely out of the picture and they still want to turn on him. Verse 4, chapter 20. And I saw thrones and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. We see the claiming of his kingdom. Let God be true and every man a liar. You know what men keep saying? Christ has no kingdom. There are people today sitting in churches right this minute that say Christ has no real literal kingdom. You know what God promised Israel? That he would reign over a real literal kingdom for them. Let God be true and every man a liar. Again, God will come back. Jesus Christ has come back. He's going to rule and reign. He comes back and claims that kingdom. He came the first time. You know what they said? We have no king but Caesar. Away with him. They didn't want it. You ever tell somebody, hey, you know what? The Lord died for you, sinner, and if you trust him, he'll give you eternal life. And they say, away with him. We don't want it. And I believe, like the best cinematic you've ever seen, that at the white throne judgment, God will replay every opportunity they had and cast them into a lake of fire, and they'll have to agree that they're guilty and jump in, probably. Amen? They're gone. They want to explain him away, pretend like he's not real. Kids do that. You know, when they get 6, 8 months old, a year old, they start walking. And I was playing hide and seek with Lucas the other day. He gets in the tent. You know, he's hiding. And when I see him, he flips. Can't see me now. He said, isn't that funny? But that's the way people live. As long as I'm not looking at God, he can't see me. And he sees every single move. He hears every idle word, and it's written down. If you're saved by the grace of God, get your sins under the blood so there'll be no account of it at the judgment seat, and you'll get some rewards. But you're saved, you're sealed, you're set apart for a purpose, but this world is going to stand in judgment for rejecting the truth. Well, I just feel like, well, your feelings and your thoughts are a moot point. They don't matter to God. What matters to God? I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. His word matters. Isn't it interesting that Jesus Christ comes back, the battle of Armageddon, defeats people with his word? I was defeated by his word when I was convicted. I'm guilty. You win. Amen. I'm without hope. Unless I call on you, you're the answer. Every knee will bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of glory, the Father. The claiming of his kingdom. The cleansing of the earth. We talked about this in Sunday school. When he was on Calvary, he had that crown of thorns on his head, the nail scars on his hands, his feet, the spear in his side. He paid for your walk. He paid for your actions. He paid for your heart problem. He paid for the curse that was on this earth. And when he comes back, that water's going to come down through here. It's going to regenerate the earth. And this earth's going to be more like the Garden of Eden. It's going to be a good place again. You know, when Jesus Christ himself, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was God. He created everything, by the way. He said, it is good. It is good. It is good. It is good. When he comes back, it will be good. But just like Adam, that sin nature, the devil out of the picture, man's sin nature will be allowed by many to run unchecked and guide them. So they won't accept what's good, they'll reject it. The cleansing of this earth. It's going to be a change in leadership, amen? If you're getting hungry, I'm wrapping this up. There's going to be a change in leadership. Man, I just hope Trump gets a third term. I hope that we don't see it if he does. Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope he gets saved and gets out of here. But I'm not looking for the Democrats or Republicans to fix this mess. I'm looking that they're going to keep making a bigger one. Come and let us reason together. Amen. What have they done so far? They've got a bad track record. Amen. But Jesus Christ, God himself, has a perfect record. He's never made one mistake or never did one wrong thing on purpose. I mean, you can't say about any man other than the man Christ Jesus. It's going to be a change in leadership. You see, there are code words in this world I don't even think they understand. I know some of them do, but I don't think some of them do. I don't think others do. When they say, peace, peace, let me translate that for you. Power, power. We want to control everything. We are the only ones wise enough to fix this. And if we just have complete control over all of you, then we can make this work. And you get a group of people up there saying, if I just had power, if I just had power, if I just had power. If you give the group the power, they'd kill each other off until one man had the power. Ultimately, that's where it's going to end up with the devil, amen? He's using these prostitutes, if you will, these whores to line up his kingdom and destroy him and take over all the power. But they get together and they have these meetings. You've got to know that when they take their boots off at night and their shoes off at night and they look in the mirror, they've got to know they're deceiving themselves sometimes. They have to. But they can get together and put on the show. But there's going to be a change in leadership, and it's not going to be what this world thinks. It's going to be what the Bible says. Look at chapter 21. Revelation 21. In verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There's no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. The condition of this world is bad. Catching away of the church is imminent. The compiling of these false religions is obvious. The catastrophe to come is written. The coming of the Lord, the challenge accepted, the consuming of the enemy, the constraining of the devil, the claiming of his kingdom, cleansing of this earth, change in leadership. The devil's loose for a season, and after perfect rule and reign on a regenerated earth, the degenerate minds of folks in the image of fallen Adam will convince themselves that they can defeat the God and be God. At the Battle of Armageddon, the Son of God defeats them with his word. At the end, Battle of Gog and Magog, at the end of the thousand-year reign, the Father from heaven sends down fire and devours them. Like that. Vengeance for what they did to his son. You know, he gives them one more chance for 1,000 years, mankind, to get right for what they did with his son. And still people refuse. Not all, but some. And the Father exacts vengeance for what they did to his son. Isn't that something? But then in Revelation 21, 1 and 2, after the change of leadership and after that battle, we have a creating things anew. A new heaven and a new earth. God's got a new beginning. You got yours at salvation. The earth's going to get a new beginning when Jesus Christ comes back to rule and reign with perfect leadership. He's going to destroy that dross. He's purifying at the end of that, destroying the enemy from heaven with fire. Then the heaven and earth pass away, the elements melt, and we get a new heaven and a new earth. Aren't you glad we serve a God of new things, of new beginnings? I don't think people get that. I really don't. I think I talk to people all the time. They're like, well, yeah, I'm saved, but I still have to work. I still have to do this, and God still, he could still put me in hell. No, he gave you a new birth. You've been born again. You're not going to be unborn again. And he's given you a new beginning. Former things have passed away. All things have become new. Jesus told Nicodemus, and Nicodemus was a religious man. He was obviously sincere in his religion, but he was lost in a lie. And Jesus Christ told him he must be born again. Except a man, talking about an individual human being, be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And when you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you are born again and placed into a spiritual kingdom that's going to line up with a physical kingdom one day when you come back with Him. Amen. I'm not worried about CNN and Fox News, and I can't even, Kim Jong, Fung Gung, whatever those people's names are, I'm not worried about them. I am slightly optimistic that maybe some of the people in Iran will have the opportunity to get saved without the brutal leadership and dictator. Maybe the gospel will, the Lord will use it to let the gospel run free for a few months or days or who knows, to see more souls saved. But I'm not counting on man to fix any of this. I'm just counting on the Lord to use it for His honor and His glory, and He always does. And when it's all said and done, He won. Look, I didn't say future tense. He won. I've already read it. God's already, in His mind, it's over. God's outside of time. We're catching up. And we're going to be caught up soon. I believe real soon. So don't be discouraged. Be excited. This world turning into a dumpster just means we're leaving quick. Amen. Pray for souls. Read your Bible. Hang on to the truth and don't let anybody steal it from you. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Walk with God. Assume we're going to fly. Amen. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I hope He comes before the lasagna or whatever's in that pot burns the rest of the way, man, down there. It ain't been stirred for 40 minutes. We'll see what happens. Amen. He give your soul a new beginning and purified it. He's going to give you a new body and a new beginning in that sense forever. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about being born again. You need to call on Him before it's too late. Your heart could quit, you could fall over and end up in hell. The rapture could happen, you'd be going through this mess that God didn't even want you to go through. He wants to save you. You could end up with a white throne judgment, cast into the lake of fire forever. Or you can call on Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I'm guilty. I believe You paid my debt, forgive me and save me. These things are written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. If you're guessing, you need to get with the Lord and ask Him to forgive you and save you, because you can know it. Well, preacher, you say, I was there when I got saved. Amen? Amen. I didn't need somebody else to tell me. I needed His Word and submit to it. Father, we love You and thank You for Your Word. Ask for Your blessing on it as we go through the day. Sow it deep in our hearts. Bless the food downstairs. Bless the folks as they part ways today, Lord. And again, be with Brother Paul and Sister Julie, be with their families. They go through this time of loss, Lord, that all gain for those that they lost. Bless the family, Lord, that You would soften and convict the hearts of those that are lost and on their way to hell, that they'd get saved before it's too late. Bless the message that is given. Lord, that You would move on the heart of the person to give a gospel message, clear presentation of truth, as You convict folks for Your honor and Your glory. Bless us, use us, keep us, help us to end without compromise. Give people safe travels home. We thank You and praise You for everything You do. Come get us soon. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen.